Amen. If she ministers to you, let her know. She isn't asking that. But it's nice to hear that, hey, God's touched and ministered. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to continue in this study in Philippians. I hope you've been enjoying this time together. There's some great precious truths in these scriptures. And I know that line upon line and precept on precept is really where we need to be. Now, all of us in here have had a time with the Lord. Do you believe that can get greater and stronger and stronger? Yeah. How many believe that? Yeah. I don't believe there's a cap or a finish on how close you can get to God. The truth is that our weakness comes in the flesh. We all have flesh still around. Oh, nobody agrees to that. But the truth is that we must crucify that area and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day we need the Lord. And many times the Lord waits for us to humble ourselves before His mighty hand. We know we need to do it, but we need to take that step and do it. Regardless of how long you've been doing your job, you probably can do it well. How about pray, Lord, help me in this job? Amen? How many of those the Lord can gift you in skill and ability? When it comes to areas, the Lord says, I will be with you even unto the end. I don't believe everything that is invented is invented. I don't believe that every miracle that's ever been done is done. I believe God can still intervene today. Amen? I really do. I believe that the Lord has a way and He has a solution. When we get to the building, we owe $220,000 on this building. I'm going to see this place paid off. Amen? Whether it's one check for $220,000 or $220,000 $1 bills. I don't really care. I'm as the Lord's able. Amen? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. But you ever notice sometimes we'll pray for things and we'll touch it, but then we'll go away from it for a while. Who knows what I'm talking about? How many know sometimes you got to keep hammering that area? Like the widow who came before the unjust judge, and he says, I don't either fear God or man or anyone, but this woman's coming and wears me out. I'm going to give her all that she wants. And it was a type that we need to go to God. Sometimes you need to bombard heaven continually. He's already heard you, but Lord, I'm going to continue to bombard heaven. I've noticed some things have to work out and align for other things to manifest. When we pray, the Lord's working on all kinds of things for us. I mean, those sudden things can manifest and all of a sudden like, cool, awesome. And you know, I want joy to return to the house. How many of us, there's been a lot of things going on this year? A lot of struggles, a lot of heartache, a lot of whatever. But joy, true joy to return. More than ever, I'm praying that all these storms and earthquakes will start to get people's attention. That people will start to look up, not blame Him for it, but realize it's already been recorded. These things would come to pass. But He said, look up, your redemption's drawing near. Philippians 2, we're going to start with verse 19. It says, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of comfort and to know your state. Now I want us to look at this first part of the verse. But I trust in the Lord. How many of us, everything we need to do is to trust in the Lord. All of us have an area of trust that's been built up, whether it's through experience or through the Word. But our true hope is found in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, in this is life, only in Christ do we have hope. Listen, if people don't have Christ, they're most miserable, Scripture says. In Christ is our only hope of salvation. Aren't you glad heaven is your home? Amen. How many knows that to be absent from this body, you're in His presence? That's not a bad thing. Now, I'm not looking to go home too soon. But you know what? When God's finally done with us, where we end up is far greater than here. Amen. Amen? The Bible says that this body is like a tent. And how many knows tents have a tendency to wear out? Yeah. For Paul, he wanted to know the affairs of the Philippians. He was in that place of absence. He was stuck in house arrest. And he wanted to care. He wanted to know. Sometimes it's good to hear a word what's going on. Maybe you've had a friend or a family member that's moved away, and it's sometimes nice to hear that things are going well with them. Paul's looking at the church like a shepherd saying, I really want to know what's going on with the Philippians. So since I can't go myself, I'm going to send my trusted servant Timothy there. Listen, friendship should be maintained outside this fellowship. Even for people who are distant. Now, you don't get the chance to talk to them, but it's essential for growth. And it's essential to find out what's happening with people. Amen? Personal communication to one another is so important. But listen, we can't only rely on that. We also need to have contact with them. Amen? Now, you can watch Jesus on television, but I'd rather see you in church. You can get some good stuff there, but listen to me. It's not the same laying your hands on a piece of glass versus somebody laying hands on your shoulder. Oh, say amen. Can God touch you? Sure. But how many knows that we need the fellowship one with another? Because as much as I could scream to the TV, that guy never responds. Amen? And sometimes when I'm deep in prayer, a commercial comes on. Oh, somewhere we've missed it in the Holy Ghost. Oh, now I'm preaching. Amen? How many knows we need that intimate time with one another? Listen, when love abounds, grace is always present. When sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I've learned that when grace and love are coupled together, that's unstoppable force. Look at verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who naturally cares for your state. That means Timothy is speaking about, he is so sincere. And it's rare to find somebody who's sincere about others. He's saying Timothy has such a sincerity for you Philippians. And that's a noble cause that we all need. He's describing him as a man that has an excellent spirit and a tender heart. He's a genuine disciple of Paul who's walking in the same spirit, not in pretense. Paul's saying, I know I'm in house arrest, but I'm going to send you Timothy. He's just like me, only younger. How many knows that's cool? How many think it'd be a good recommendation if Paul recommended you? Amen. Say amen. I want Paul to recommend me to anyone. Yep. And notice he's speaking about Timothy. And he's not trying to build him up or put his name on a marquee. He is speaking, when you have Timothy with you, he has the same spirit I do. He has the same love and attention for you. That's rare. He has a willing heart and an upright spirit. When I look today, too many serve so many other things. So many get drained. But the purpose of a minister is to care for the well-being of the people. Say amen. Amen. How many knows that's a goal for all of us? How many care for somebody? You just do. Listen, cultivate that heart. The Bible says that we shouldn't be lords over people, but examples of the faith. And when it comes to individuals, we have to have that. Not to be lords over people. I've seen that happen. Where you're making those demands on people. And they submit themselves because they want to. They want to serve. But now they become under a thumbscrew instead of embraced in love. Our job is to be an example. Timothy is walking into the Philippians saying, you know what? I'm having that heart. I don't have to promote it. You'll just see it. Amen? I can say this without a doubt. The people who minister in this church have the same heart. They want to care for people. We all need that area. It's rare to find somebody who naturally seeks out others. Look at verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things of Christ. Notice Paul is speaking that, hey, many things are done outside of sincerity. And sometimes I know that life happens. I know things go about. But no matter what you face, you can still be godly in the midst of it. You can still care about others. If you've ever been a caretaker for somebody, you realize that, listen to me, your life is not your own. When you have to give out and minister and take care of this and do this and sometimes do things that most people would never know you have to do. But the truth is you care. You don't look at that as like a duty. You're just like, Lord, we're helping people along. Amen? Seeking our own interest and neglecting Christ is a very great sin. Many prefer their own credit, ease, and safety before truth, holiness, and duty. The things, Lord, of our own pleasure, our own reputation before the things of Christ. Look at verse 22. But we know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. He's saying you can prove this out. Timothy, you've known him. You've seen him. He's been around. He's already been road no. He's traveled. And now, like a father to the son, that's what he's like. Timothy now has the road of humility. He's looking at Paul saying, you know what? I'm serving him as the older. Like in this church, we all rise in the presence of the elderly. It's important. And I say this to you. You can do a million things. If somebody moves a little slower, move slower with them. If they're sitting down and they can't get up to you, how about sit next to them? It's amazing the conversations you'll have. Timothy is honoring Paul in such a way, like a son to a father or a father to a son. I'm looking at Timothy and saying, you know what? He's just like me. One of the greatest things we could ever do is train up others in the work of the ministry to have the same heart. Listen, if the Lord should tarry and we all go the way of all flesh, don't we want our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to rise up and have the same heart? I really want to see that. There's a generational blessing upon us. That means that every generation is welcome and in the kingdom. Come on. When I look at Jesus, what is acceptable to him? What's approved of men? I want to be like that. Listen, for our older folks in this church, in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, as younger men as brethren, the elderly women as mothers and sisters as younger, with all purity. We need to have that. Amen. That's the type of church that, you know what, God will honor. Yes. In a society who could care less about those who are aged, we need to care all the more. Amen. Say amen. Amen. It's still okay to open the door and hold it. Yeah. Amen. I've noticed the older you get, the more handrails matter. Amen. Say amen. Amen. The less you like steps. Yeah. Oh, come on, give me some amens in here. The truth is that it happens. We all get older slowly and suddenly. But the truth is that Paul is like shown the example, and Timothy now is like a model example of it. When you meet Timothy in heaven, you're going to see that. You're going to see that reflection, and it all boils back to Christ. Say, God is good. Look at verse 23. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall know, how it shall go with me. He's saying, listen to me, I don't know my total faith yet, whether I'm going to be martyred in this area or I'm going to be set free. So my estate is still out there, but my heart is so much for you, Philippians. Timothy's going to let me know. I'm going to send him on to you. And wouldn't it be like, not like today where you can call, see it on a video. He had to wait to hear, whether through a transcript, a paper given back, or a word of mouth, what was going on. So sometimes there was a time frame from when it went out till it returned. It's like the letter went out and now you're waiting in anticipation. Can you see Paul being bound and saying, man, I hope it's going well with the Philippians? How many of you would like to hear some good news? A good report. That's your hope and expectation. And now you're going to send a trusted person. Because you don't want all the fluff that goes with it. Like I've always shared. Listen, if one person gets saved, the pastor or the evangelist doesn't have to say, and 50 got saved at the service. We don't need to pad the numbers before Jesus. We don't need to lie about the results. Paul's looking at Timothy when the word comes back. I know I'm going to hear what's really going on. We all need that. Verse 24. But I trust in the Lord also that myself shall come shortly. Paul was a great man. He had a heavenly disposition. He was great in those arenas. He had character and purity. He was a true brother. But now he's looking at true friendship to manifest in the people. My friendship I have with Timothy, like a father to son, he's going to bring that same heart to this church. And now I know that it'll be in you. There should be a transfer for what's godly in the community. I hope in your life I can benefit you to some degree. I can't be your savior. But I hope that I can invest in a way, a small portion that, hey, this is good. This is what God wants. That's a desire of mine. Listen, no one has more false friends than Jesus. True friendship is rare. To meet somebody who's unselfish in their mind and heart with pure motives is a great value today. It's something that we should aspire to. Because we all have those bouts of selfishness, true? And how many knows when we get out there and we put ourselves out there, it requires some effort. I wish I could say servanthood didn't have any effort to it, but it does. But when you start to lay down your life and you realize that, hey, you know what? Lord, my life is yours. You start to realize who it's for and then how short this time is. It kind of changes, amen? I want all selfishness rooted out of me. I really do. Lord, I want to be unselfish. I want to have pure motives in everything I do, honestly. Whether I'm doing this or this. He says this, verse 24, I trust in the Lord. How many knows you're hearing that again? It's a humble dependence. We must trust in the Lord. All of us know that He's going to come. He's going to come quickly. The truth is that we're rapidly moving towards that end. But to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Each one of us that has to state, if God permits and He allows this, we'll continue. If tomorrow is happening, it's because the Lord allowed it. Yes. Amen? Then if He allows it, then this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Paul's going to be addressing others in verse 25. Now, you can help me with that name, Epaphroditus. That sound good? Anybody got a better pronunciation than that? Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, but your messenger. He will minister to all your wants. His name actually means loving and charming. I'm going to send loving and charming to you. I got Timothy coming. He has my heart and spirit, and loving and charming is going to come. It sounds like great ministers coming to church. Notice these guys aren't going to beat the sheep. They're going to love on them and appreciate them. Now, he labored in northern Greece, or what's called Mesopotamia. So he came along. He was there. He was a faithful minister. And now he also wants to come. But you're going to see a struggle with his health. He's going to be sick even unto death. I mean, sometimes in this life, we have some struggles in our bodies. Paul calls him a companion, a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier. He's a partner in faith, a partner in labor, a share of conflicts and dangers. But I've noticed that each one of these titles really is a soldier. Aren't we partners in faith together, church?
Yes.
How about partners in labor?
Yes.
How about sharers of conflict and struggle?
Yes.
Paul's addressing it like, hey, you are this and so are the rest of us. It makes us fellow companions. We have a bond that goes beyond the grave. I have real brothers and sisters. I have a real family. There's sometimes spiritually the connection is unbelievable with other brothers and sisters. Amen? I may have flesh in common with others, but there's a spiritual bond that goes beyond. If you take notes in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 through 5, Paul is admonishing, you endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man wars, listen, gets entangled with the affairs of this world. But he keeps himself in those arenas. You're chosen as a mighty warrior. Now, Pastor Mark can attest this better, but listen, when it's time to go off to battle, you better not be in the brig. Come on. How many knows you need to be out there doing battle? Now, can you imagine if the church needs to go out to battle and all it is paralyzed? It becomes, listen, useless. Paul's going to send a messenger, but he noticed he wants to minister to the needs of the people. It's one thing just to be speaking something. You need to meet the needs of the people. So when people come in, we have to be sensitive. And church, I want everyone in here to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in the people's needs. That every gift is in operation. God can touch somebody in the parking lot, in the hallway, in the bathroom, in the sanctuary, at the altar, when they leave. Generally, people shut down or are reserved until there's an opportunity to open up. Amen? How many of you ladies ever talked to somebody and they said, how you doing? They say, fine. But you just know instantly there's something wrong. And how many ever pushed it? One more question. What's really wrong? And they just open up. Sometimes people are looking for that arena, just for an opportunity, just for somebody to listen. Can we be the listening ear? Paul's going to send two men to him that are going to minister the grace. I can't go myself, but the next best thing is somebody who's just like me. Can that be all of us in this room? Look at verse 26. For he longed after you. He was full of heaviness because he heard that you had been sick. He longed for them so much, but they heard that, you know what? He wasn't feeling well. His sickness was not going to stop him from caring, from trying to be there. But sometimes when we hear when somebody's sick, how many knows we have some heaviness? We want that brother to be strong too. For all those who say ministers can never get sick, I'm sorry, here's a prime example. And it was one of Paul's companions too. I'll get into that in just a minute. When people are ill, I've noticed a heaviness sets in. More than ever, I want people well. One of the things that is upon me constantly is the welfare of the church. It never goes away 7 days a week. It just doesn't go away. That weight there is always placed there. So I have to prioritize the shoulder, the responsibility, what the Lord wants me to carry. And everything else is all everybody else's responsibility. That means we all have a part in carrying and shouldering it. Amen? I can't shoulder your part, but what the part the Lord wants me to have. Is this good? Yes. We're all laboring this together. Amen? Yes. Is that good stuff? Yes. Can we do it? Then if we shoulder responsibility, look at verse 27. For indeed he was sick even unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but me also, lest I had sorrow upon sorrow. He was sick unto death, but God had mercy. The Philippians knew about this sickness, and they had a heaviness for him, but his heart was so much for the Philippians that whether I'm sick or not, I'm going to care for you. Isn't that a true heart? How many of you weren't feeling so well, but you had to still meet the needs of somebody else? Come on. I mean, sometimes you just shoulder that, or your heart is broken, or you're going through this, but you don't want that to be a burden to anyone else, so you just take that, and you're still doing. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's a different level. He's living that level, saying, you know what, his heart is so much for you. He had a sickness even unto death, but he wasn't even in that, I still care for you, church. Sometimes it's like you got to shoulder that, and sometimes people will never know what you had to go through just to do that. But the Lord does. Yes, he does. Amen? And Paul was so concerned for his friend. That man, if he would have passed on here, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. I don't like it when people pass on. I'm glad they're in glory, but I miss people. Yes. Amen? Amen? I kind of hope that the Lord just comes and poofs, takes us all home at once. Amen. That'd be cool. If I have my way, I want a slow ascent, even though our twinkling of an eye is unbelievably fast. But wouldn't that be cool to go up slow? Amen. Just, bye, I told you the truth. Get your life right. Amen. Get your life right. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Kind of blow some people away. Grab a couple unbelievers on the way up. Do you believe now? Amen. But I've noticed something here. How many believe that God used Paul to heal many? I often struggle that this is Paul's friend, and yet he still has a sickness. And I really begin to contemplate that, because we know in Acts chapter 20, he preached long, and there was a young man up in the balcony area, and he fell out the window, and Paul laid upon him and says, hey, don't worry, he's still alive. That supernatural miracles were done by the hands of Paul. And I often looked at this thing here and says, why did he get a touch? Paul had a healing ministry. Could he have just spoke a word in that situation? But then here's my best rendering of that. It shows that Paul is not the healer, but Christ is. Are you with me? The excellency is of God in us, not us ourselves. But somehow God still brought a touch. We can't look to man for our only hope. And if this guy is the only one that touches me or I'll never get healed, we have to move past that. How many of the Lord can heal you any way He wants? Healing in Scripture is one that's a mystery on how He does it. I've seen Him spit in eyes. I've seen Him speak a word. I've seen Him send somebody else. How many of those God can do anything to do it? I've seen people tear the roof off and let it down and Him speak, which is easy for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, arise up and walk. How many of those, the Lord can do anything. I just want to be in the atmosphere, in the arena for Him to move. Amen? And I want to hear Him say, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? Whether it's outrageous or not, if that's what you want to do, then God, we want to believe for that. I mean, that's when faith kicks in. Say amen. As your pastor, I do this every single service. Lord, what do you want to do today? And I am intently listening. Lord, what do you want to do? And there are times He'll speak, bring people forward. Listen, when God ever prompts that, don't hesitate. Because He wants to minister grace. But sometimes we're reluctant to move. Well, I really don't need to. I'm all right. No, move. Because the truth is that I'm agreeing with God in His conversation and His word for that area. And if He says He's going to do it, then don't step outside of that. Do it. Amen? Amen? Then come with that. God, you spoke. I'm here, Lord. I'm ready to receive. There are times the Lord says this. I want you to move on right now. And I'll just move on. I mean, I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This isn't freaky or weird or spooky. This is Spirit-led what God wants. Is God good? Yeah. I enjoying tonight? Yeah. Look at verse 28. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. I've sent him there. Listen, it's nice to hear good news. The miracle is done for somebody else. You knew he was sick even unto death, but when he comes through the door, wouldn't that be a celebration? I've seen God take people from the brink of losing it all and restoring their life. We also need to pray that for people. There are some things happening today like never before. Strange stuff happening. Things like, what's up with that? And I really believe no child should outlive their parents. I struggle when somebody dies at a young age. I really do. It bothers me. But Lord, whatever that situation is, God, I want it to work. Imagine if he came through the door and now Timothy's there. That'd be great rejoicing. Amen? Can you see Paul in house arrest hearing good? Hey, there's a good report. Epaphroditus, he's been healed. Oh, man. Can you see him going, yeah, so cool. Sometimes even hearing something good when you're in a nasty place is encouraging. Even if it's for somebody else. Like your parents would take it for your kids. Sometimes it's good to hear good news. We need to share it. Amen? We have a testimony. Listen, there's prayer requests on that big white board. But there's also cards there. If God answers the prayer, you fill that out. We have this little, I don't know if it's a sticker or a stamp or a different color. What's on that card that's orange? Just a different, and you can read those. Hey, answer the prayer. James was believing God for some money from the VA to fix up his place. He's been taking care of veterans, and he got a $5,000 grant from them. From Home Depot, they're going to fix his front yard and his backyard and his shed so he can still help these guys out. He come in, he goes, look, I was written down wrong, $500. No, they gave me $5,000, and they're coming over to do the work. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Can God do that? Yeah. He was reaching out to these VA hospitals, helping these guys out. God blessed him. Yeah. Well, we all need that area. It's good to hear good news. Yeah. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Yeah. Amen? For Paul, he's looking at these two gentlemen. He holds them in great reputation, great heart, and now he has joy. All of us, verse 29, receive him therefore with all gladness and hold such in reputation. That means hold them in honor. Paul's saying, listen, when these gentlemen come, hold them in honor. Hold them in honor. And that way you hold the people in honor too. If you're a minister, make sure you hold the people in honor. Even if they're rude or inconsiderate to you, I still honor. I don't like what you're doing, but I honor you. I care about your life. Most people who hurt people usually have something going on in their life. Amen? Sometimes you may be the vent that they're releasing it on, but sometimes I'd rather people barrage me than somebody else. At least it's not you. Come on. How many knows you can have thick skin and when the armor can take a lot of battering? My armor is not thin. My skin is, but my armor isn't. How many knows be filled with the Spirit? You're so saturated with oil, when those darts come that you can't see, they extinguish. You may feel the bump, but you know what? You're not going to burn. But how many ever been weak and then you got attacked and it crippled you? It hurt you bad. It's like the enemy had the right words right at the wrong time in your life. One, two. How many know sometimes it can send you into tailspin? Paul is really in a vulnerable place. He can't go himself. I'm under house arrest. I care for the church unbelievably. I can't go, but I'm sending the greatest servants I know to be there with you, and I'm looking for a great report. Truthfully, Paul is saying, since I can't go, these guys are going to give me the mirror image of what's going on, just like I went myself. That means this, whatever Paul could accomplish in the service, these gentlemen were going to be able to accomplish themselves. That's good news. That's a good pastor. That he's trained up his people to the place where, you know what, he wants to be there, but he can't, but it'll go on just like if he was there, even if he isn't. Amen? Are you enjoying tonight? When we receive people with a good reputation and honor, Romans 16, verse 2, receive her in the Lord as become saints. I love this. Each one of us need to have it. Receive them, whether it's male or female, receive them is in faith. Honor them in that position. Now, honor sometimes has went over to homage, to the next place of worship. Men and women are not to be worshipped in the house. I don't want you falling all over me to serve me. If I got 20 bags, you can carry one, but I'm not expecting you to carry them all. Oh, I'm preaching now. I've seen the abuse of it when people feel like they're empowered and everyone else is a peon. No, you honor. And if you're the man of God, you make sure you honor everybody in that room. That's your job. Listen, we have to look at Scripture and say, it's so opposite of biblical descriptions. Where did we learn that from? Our own entitlements. Paul is not being entitled. He's under house arrest, and he's saying, go there, people, and serve and honor. That is great preaching. I've seen the abuse, and I brought up the abuse in meetings to say, this is how men and women should be. Nothing short of that. Now, we show honor where honor is due, but if we miss it, we're missing it big time. We're going off the rails, and I'll make you a guarantee. Those who live such a way, soon they won't be doing what they're doing. Because it doesn't work. It goes off the tracks. And then the people get disillusioned and hurt. Listen, whenever we go, if you get in this offering, God will give you 100-fold. Make sure he's speaking to you the 100. Or it's not going to happen. If you don't get into this offering here, you won't be blessed. What about all the other offerings I've been involved in? What about all the other seed? You mean all the other seed was junk? How many know sometimes we have this Christianese about us and we miss the whole point of it? This is good preaching. We have to look, say, God, I'm going to sow and reap. I'm going to serve. Paul's saying, I'm not going to send you charlatans who are going to rape you and take your money and go out and do their own thing. But I'm going to send servants. Ones that even if they were hurting in their own body, still wanted to be with you. How many pastors can say that? If I have to limp to go there and bless you, I'm going to do that. Even if I was at the point of death, I still have you on my heart. Is that totally different than much of what you see today? This is biblical Christianity. And that's the way I have to preach it. I have no knock against those who don't, but they have to learn 101 Christianity again. And I've known this, that God is so merciful that he'll take you down to rebuild you. And hopefully somebody will have a discipleship program like Paul did for Timothy and all his fellow companions. Amen? I don't want you to fall all over me. You show honor where honor is due. That's biblical. But if I don't serve you, then I'm not doing my job. Period. No matter what the name is on the marquee. Everybody smile so you say you love me. Amen. When I look at Paul, such men are valuable. They're zealous towards good works and they're faithful. People are appreciated when you care about them, but they're loved and appreciated when you demonstrate it. Each family has stuff. Sometimes stuff manifests itself as you go along. But God's able. Amen? The bigger the family, the more the stuff. But can you imagine a church that their heart is set on the Lord, that they're living unselfishly, that they're looking at the needs of others greater than themselves, and it's just a natural response? Not some engineered thing, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do because that's what it says. No, you're just that person. I want to be genuine. Shouldn't we be genuine? Then we need to put it to practice. I'm not saying you're not already. But make a conscious effort of it. Say, you know what, as for today, today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. Look at Lighthouse and the people around. Make sure you're going, hey, how are you doing? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. I mean, those people can tell when you're fake and when you're genuine. Oh, yeah. Let's all do that. Let's all have that same heart. That's one of the reasons why I stand at the door and greet all those I can as they leave. I may not be able to get here. It's not because I don't have other things. But people are more important than my things I have to do. Amen? Amen? And if I can reach my hand out and say, I'm glad you're here. Well, take that opportunity. You see him in the hallway, take that opportunity. You see him in the foyer, take that opportunity. You see him coming here, take that opportunity. Going to a new church is like going to a new school. You don't know where to go. You go down there, you follow the crowd. And when you sit there, you don't want to be overly bombarded, but you don't want to be left alone either. So sometimes you got to have that fine balance. You may know what I'm talking about. And then sometimes, Lord, I don't have anything in common with that individual, but Lord, help me. Amen. People can respond to love. People can respond to prayer. Paul's looking for a good word. Look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your service or your lack of service towards me. Because the work of Christ was so important to him, he was even to the place of the point of death. He didn't even regard that. I said, look, it doesn't matter how I feel. I care so much for you. And Paul, I care so much for your people. Man, that's a great heart. Now, he needed to take care of himself, but he had such a burden for the people. Amen? That's a true shepherd's heart. That regardless of what you're going through, I'm going to make a difference. Amen? That's like going that extra mile when you don't feel like driving that extra mile to drive that individual home. No one ever lives right next door. Where do you live? You live on the other side of town? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen? I remember one time we were driving young people home. I used to drive the bus home. I did. We had 45 kids on one bus alone. That was my bus route. So I'd pick them up before service, preach the service, and drive them home. And I never forget, we had a new person on the bus, and the first stop was this girl stop with another kid. But the kid just didn't pay any attention. And I drove 45 kids home. And I finally looked, and I had a helper in the bus. Where do you live? Oh, you remember that first turn you made after the church? I'm like, oh. That was another half hour out of the way. Amen? And by then, I'm burned out. I want to go home too. Oh, no. Everyone knows that for a fact. So I remember looking in the mirror going, really? You live? Yeah, I live just down the street from praise the Lord. Amen. How many knows that's all you can do? Praise the Lord. Ride all the way back. I didn't forget the next time you get off. But we have to be that person. Amen. I also, one time I took care of the senior saints, and this particular group was, everyone was 80 and older. I don't have a problem with people being older. Well, I was a younger minister, and the pastor asked me, hey, I need you to drive this. The gentleman who normally drives can't do it. Well, I was so used to driving vehicles with youth in college age. I went over the railroad tracks, and I didn't slow down. And it was one of those 16 passenger with the third long seat, and you kind of get a bump off the seat. And I was just driving normal, and all of a sudden I hit that tracks, and the van went up, the back seat went up, and I heard this little voice. About 30 seconds later, man, that sure shook up my communion. And I'm like, I looked in the mirror, and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's 80 plus, and that lady went airborne right in the seat. I told the pastor, I go, look, if you get a complaint, I'm sorry, I just wasn't paying attention, amen? But I never forget, I picked up all these seniors, and every single one of them that needed help out, thank you for doing that. I really wanted to come. They were overappreciated for being picked up, which was such a small endeavor. But if you ask them to seek God for the church, they'd be on their face for days. Whenever I do a crusade, I'd ask all those elderly folks, I have this, I need you to seek the Lord for that. And every single one of them would be on their face before God, and God would move. We need that again. We need more private intercession for public work. Yes. Paul's looking at the two men he's sending. Listen, I'm looking for a great answer to prayer, to bring back thanksgiving and joy. And you men are the one. They've demonstrated by their character that no matter what's going on in their life, they will be there. Lord, I want this in me. I want great strength, but if I'm not feeling well, oh, too bad. Get up. Say amen. How many knows there's still that area? Now you take care of what you have. There's balance here. But he was nigh unto death, and yet he still had a heart to minister. Lord, give me that heart. Amen. And I've learned that the worse I feel, the more I need to seek him. How many have some pains every now and then? They're kind of like, I'm just going through that. One, two. It's part of it, but I'm going to still seek him. Amen? A hangnail should not keep you out of the kingdom. Oh, now I'm preaching now. Amen? How many excuses have we put out there when we knew we could just push through that? Is anybody being honest? Lord, I'm going to push through that. People deserve our best. And when the heart is there, it doesn't really matter. Lord, I can't be there, but Lord, I'll do this. I'll make a difference. You enjoy tonight? We're going to stop there at this point. Hopefully you're enjoying this study in Philippians. How many in here realize that what Paul is speaking, you want to be like these gentlemen? How many want to be unselfish in your life? Let me see your hand. You want to have that heart. How many want to look at even hardship, say, Lord, I can endure this because you're with me. Amen? How many are realizing the importance as a minister? We're all called to minister here. That we need to hold those in respect, those we're ministering to. Yes. If every minister does that, it'll revolutionize the whole ministry. It no longer will become I in this. The next thing is, if there's a good report, share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Let it be known. Somebody may feel like they're imprisoned. They may feel like they're stuck in an area, and that word may just be enough to encourage them out of that. Amen. Every time the enemy works, there's guilt involved. I want to see that removed. Praise the Lord. And last here. Paul had a couple men that he could call his own because they were just like him. How many of us, we need to invest in others that they can become just like that too. That we have such a relationship that we can change another generation. Whether it's our own kids and family, whether it's somebody meet somebody in the men's group, wherever, somebody in church that we can just invest in, that one day if we're detained, they can continue with the same heart. How many want that to show? Father, we all have this in our lives. Lord, help us to be unselfish in, Lord, every area. Lord, our empty, Lord God, that, Lord, your ways are so much greater than ours. And Lord, forgive us the self-promotion, Lord God. Forgive us the times, Lord, that we've made ourselves Lord. Or we've been lords over others and not examples to the flock. Help us, Jesus. Lord, let us be like Timothy, who reflected his teacher, Paul. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Lord God, to see another generation rise up and call you blessed. That, Lord, they can see our actions, that we show true honor to your people. Because, Lord, I know that you've honored us. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. That, Lord, you'll go with each one in strength and power. And teach us, Lord God, to lay down our life just like you did. Lord, that we have biblical examples on how to follow. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you for